Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital. And welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast for creative journeys, the entrepreneurs, the hustlers, the people that are doing what they love to do. And today I'm being joined by a local comedian, Montgomery Mason.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. That clap, Montgomery Mason.
The slow clap.
It's all good. Also known as Chris Sanders. I don't know where you got Montgomery Mason from. I think that's a different guest.
I got him confused. Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah. No worries. Thank you for having me, Anthony. I appreciate it, man.
Is that why you did that?
Yeah. For that cheap, quick joke. Nice. Yeah.
So what's going on, man? Thank you for joining me.
Happy to be here. Absolutely. I like the name of your street on the way here. Yeah. Idlewild. Exciting Idlewild. Does anything exciting happen here? Not at all?
No.
It's like named after an Andre 3000 movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does Andre 3000 live here?
It's somewhere around here.
Yeah, he just shows up randomly at like, you know, Home Depots and stuff, I hear.
Yeah. You look like somebody famous.
Vijay Singh?
Maybe Tiger Woods.
I've heard that once or twice.
Nice.
I met Tiger Woods once, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, I met him at a nightclub once. Yeah.
Did he call you his doppelganger?
No. This blonde woman came up to me and was like, "Hey, like, I think your wife knows about us." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I'm not married." And she's like, "Wait, you're not Tiger Woods?" Like, no, I just look like him. And I look over and it's just him with like five other Scandinavian women. I'm like, "Oh, I'm in the wrong nightclub." Yeah. But that's why they let me in. They thought I was Tiger.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
If they knew I was Chris, they'd be like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, go. Yeah.
Yeah. You have no name.
Yeah. Montgomery Mason, get the fuck out of here. Jesus.
Who are you?
I don't know. Who are we? This is the Blue Box. The Blue Box.
Represent Blue Box.
Yeah, Blue Box. Yes, in the house, sir. People. Yeah.
Tell me, man, what got you started in comedy?
I haven't done comedy in about 5 years. I did comedy one time, in that nightclub. But what started me doing comedy was I learned that people, they feel better when they laugh, right? So like if you break down a person, you have like living, sadness, hungry, and then laughing is up here. And I noticed that when people are really laughing, they like you more. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get people to laugh. I'll get them to laugh, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy, though.
No.
Most of the time, you're making them sad by not making them laugh. But if you are laughing when people are sad, who cares about them? Because you made yourself laugh.
Yeah.
It's all about you. Yeah. Not at all. That's not usually how this whole thing works. No, I started when I was like around high school. I grew up in a very repressive Cambodian household. We weren't allowed to have opinions at all. And pretty much I was like, I joined the debate team in high school. And I was the only person on the debate team.
What was that at?
It was in Gibsonton, or Florida.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And so I was the president of the debate team because I was the only person on the debate team by default. There wasn't anyone who could like... I voted for myself... Yeah. Anyway,
nice.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
president by default.
Yeah, it was I was the perfect despot. Beautiful. Perfect despot. You know, I was the citizen and the president. But yeah. So anyway, in the debate team, I was able to sort of like talk about my opinions and my thoughts, right? And I had an uncle of mine in high school. He showed me Chris Rock's Never Scared stand-up special, and he was sort of doing what we do on the debate team, but funnier. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to do what he does. And I don't think my style is anywhere near like Chris Rock. Yeah. I think when I first started, it's almost like when a musician like does music, they just do cover songs. Mm-hmm. They're just doing Tom Petty. Like, and I think when I first started, I was like 16 and I was doing a Chris Rock bit at like a socialist feminist bookstore.
Oh, wow.
And I was, no one laughed. I made them sad. It got very sad. This is very,
it was never an upturn.
Yeah. I talked about sex, which I didn't have yet. And I was just describing the act of it and they were very offended by it. And, I remember I bombed my first time, which I'm glad I got it out.
Everybody bombs.
So. Everyone bombs. Yeah. 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 There will be many bombs on this podcast. Yeah. Many bombs on this podcast. Yeah. But we'll edit them out.
It's like Ukraine over here.
Yeah. Jesus, right. It was weird too. I was playing Xbox and I was playing Xbox with this kid and I hear a bunch of noises in the background, right? I realize that he's in a bunker in Ukraine.
Get out.
Yeah,
of
he's
here.
Like literally. I'm like, should I let you win this game? Like, I feel like if I beat you,
it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, here. Right. I was like, shit. All right. I'm like, you good? You guys good back there? He's like, hey, we still got Xbox. We all good. All
right, you
like,
good?
Yeah.
Priorities.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what sort of started me with stand up, and ever since then, I kind of became a comedy nerd since high school, and you know, at various lengths since, you know, 16, 18, been going at it tenaciously, taking a break for, you know, whatever reason. And I think living in Florida the past, like, 4 years, I've taken it more seriously here. And it's been really fun. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah, the comedy scene here is great.
Vibrant. Very, very vibrant. You know, it's weird, like, when COVID started, there's been this great COVID migration. Everyone mm-hmm. from the Northeast and the West coming to Florida because we're like Texas Junior.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, I mean, we were only closed down for 2 days. Literally, people were coughing into dolphins' faces, riding on jet skis while everyone else was locked down. You know, I'm like talking to my friends, like, what are you doing? Like, I'm watching the whole season of Seinfeld again. I'm like, oh, I'm on the beach coughing in the dolphin's face right now. And I'll see you in a few years. But a lot of stand-ups are coming here, and the scene's very vibrant. And, you know, there's the audiences are great here. And that, you know, they really want to see comedy. They really want to laugh. And they're not judgmental in many ways. If you're funny, they'll laugh.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And where have you played here in Florida?
So I have a monthly show in Sarasota, Moonlight Comedy SRQ, at a wonderful tiki bar called the Bahi Hut. It's the second oldest tiki bar in the country.
Nice.
Yeah, Sarasota's got some bragging rights on that. I host at a local, host and feature a local comedy club called Coconuts, which is the oldest comedy club in the state of Florida, I believe. There's another improv theater in St. Pete that I regularly perform at. And I'm doing like a hosting weekend at a place called Snappers. I'm doing another place called Porky's in a few weeks with Stephen Lolly. He used to write for Cat Williams.
You're killing it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to stay productive.
Yeah.
And Florida is definitely allowing me to do that.
For sure. I mean, there's comedy clubs everywhere.
Yeah, comedy clubs are everywhere. This is a comedy club.
Yeah.
Right? This is a comedy club. So much comedy is happening here as we speak. Yeah, yeah.
Just no audience.
Just no audience. Well, I don't know. Let's see how many views this gets.
Yeah.
It's like... You, me, and my dad don't count. The three views.
Yeah, so minus three.
Yeah, minus three. Everything after that. I want to get Push Supreme numbers. Oh, my God. They got like 12K in like a week.
Yeah.
Goddamn. All right. I got it.
It's the face.
Yeah, I got to show up with a mask.
It's the face.
Just
so,
a crazy mask.
Instead of Montgomery Mason, I just put Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
Just to get a
bingo.
Clickbait.
Yes. You got to. You got it. That's how you get the algorithm.
And when they start, they're like, the hell is this guy?
Who's this guy? Is this really Tiger Woods? Yes. Only thing, if comedy doesn't work out, Tiger Woods impersonator.
Yeah, you there
know,
you go.
For sure. I'll be on a cameo.
He's a quiet guy, but, you know.
Yeah, very soft-spoken, very Asian, very Asian. Just keeps to himself, keeps his eyes on his paper and other women's asses.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah.
Priorities, man.
Priorities.
What was it, you know, what was the moment that you decided you were going to do this for a living, man?
That's a great question. I think when I stopped caring about... school, I think. I've had like a what I would call a toxic relationship with school. I dropped out. I got kicked out of the university, Florida State, in my early 20s because I failed Spanish twice.
Nice.
Yeah, And I was like, all right.
No español.
No español. Por poquito español. Practicar español en biblioteca mal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's
enough. Did you conjugate that right? I don't think you did. So, yeah, I mean, I went to school actually on a scholarship, and then I sort of, there was a stand-up scene in Tallahassee, Florida, where I went to school, and I just became sort of enamored and obsessed with just going up on stage. And it was in some ways a faint form of escapism, definitely from other things as well, some family troubles. And eventually school became less important. Did my best to graduate. I dropped out one class short of graduation. I needed Spanish. That's the only thing I needed. And I failed it twice. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't need this.
Yeah.
But
that's
a sign. It's a sign. But in between that time and now, I sort of dabbled in stand-up. And I got to sort of like experience it a little bit more. And that's sort of like what that's when I knew this is something I really enjoy doing. And this is something that when I stopped doing it, I want to do it even more, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I wonder if a person can say that about many things in their lives. So
that's passion, man.
Yeah, 100%.
When somebody's passionate about something, it's like you can't stop.
No, you can't stop. You can't stop. And no, if I didn't do stand-up, I'd probably be a motivational speaker. There's nice. There's so much clout and money in that. So, you know, if stand-up doesn't work out, I'll just tell people what I think they should do with their lives. That's it. Yeah.
Just write a book, man. That's what everybody seems to be doing.
Yeah, I'll write a book.
Self-help book.
Call it Tiger and just put my face on it. You know? I'm trying to think, what would be my first chapter? My first chapter would be like Goku versus Vegeta's.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd be like, all right, guys. A lot of people out there. We got a lot of Vegeta's out there. What does that mean, right? We're all trying to be Goku, right? We're all trying to be number one. We're all trying to be Kakarot, right? All right, but this is the thing. Goku, he has God-given talent, right? Goku is going to be the number one Super Saiyan, the Saiyan of all Saiyans. But in the background, you got Vegeta, right? He works his damned hardest to beat Goku. But Vegeta will never beat Goku, right? No matter how much he works. You know, he's always like, Kakarot, how dare you? Gah! Right? His power level.
The New York bestseller, right?
Yeah,
there.
New York Times bestseller. And this thing, you got to be okay with being a Vegeta.
Yeah,
you got to be okay with being number two, and that's fine. You know, I tell a lot of people. I go, people are like, oh, you shouldn't compare yourself with other people. Compare yourself to everybody. That's what I say. Like, compare yourself to yourself now. Compare yourself to your past. If you see a dog, compare yourself to that dog. You know, is that dog being more productive? I saw a squirrel the other day. He collected so many nuts in just 10 minutes. And I'm like, did I write any jokes? Like, in that 10 minutes, I wrote no jokes. That squirrel supported his family for the winter in that 10 minutes. And did I support myself in that 10 minutes? Like
what did you do in those
10 minutes? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know? And this is the thing. We know from the Marvel movies, from the science of the Marvel movies, there are multiverses, right? And, you know, people are like, oh, Spider-Man isn't science. Boop. You know, whatever. You know? Like, those writers, they know about science. Because today's science fiction is tomorrow's science fact, right? So there's a multiverse. So that means there's a version of you, Anthony, in another universe, right? And if you believe in aliens, which I do, that means there's an alien version of you doing a podcast in another galaxy, and he's killing it. So when you are doing your podcasting, you got to compare yourself to you now, you in the future, that squirrel on the tree collecting nuts, the multiverse version of you, and the alien version of you.
Wow. All right?
Don't just be like, I want to be the best podcaster in Florida or in America. I want to be the best podcaster in the galaxy,
in the
multiverse. That's the level of tenacity you got to have to be successful. All right. And listen, if you end up being a Vegeta, it's okay. It's okay. All right. Some of us can't be Kakarot. All right. But this thing, we like Vegeta because he just keeps working. He keeps hustling. All right. He doesn't do the 20 times gravity chamber and put on heavy boots to fight the next android. All right. He's just in the gym hustling. All right.
Worst motivational speaker ever.
No, this is real. This is real, people. What's sad is someone's going to listen to that and be like, dude,
I can relate to that.
You can relate to that. No, and that's, I find the motivational speaker game is crazy.
You're still working on it.
Yeah. I'm going to write that book. I appreciate you know, he started this. If this becomes like a movement, like, we can blame him.
Don't blame me for that. I don't want to take any credit.
Put special thanks in the book.
Put my picture up.
Yeah. And chapter two is going to be called Don't Have Your Own Opinions. But that's the thing. Efficiency is important in life, right? Efficiency, right? We're all about getting things done in a timely manner or more. You ever have a discussion with someone and they're arguing with you about something like climate change or like space or politics? And like, it takes a lot of time to argue with somebody, right? Like, enormous amount of time. Because you got to think.
And energy.
Yeah, you got to listen to them. Then you got to think about what you just listened to. And then you got to think. And then you got to tell them what you think. That's a lot of calories right there. That's like two Cliff Bars right there. That's two Cliff Bars. So when someone is telling me their opinion, I just repeat what they just said back to them. And then I remembered what they said. So when I have a discussion about the same topic, I just repeat what they just told me, right? Keep your thoughts to yourself. Brilliant, that's what I tell people. It's called the hustle. It's called, people talk about grinding in a hustle, grinding in quiet, grinding in secret, thinking in secret. Don't let people know your thoughts. Just repeat their thoughts to other people.
To them, yeah,
plagiarize people's thinking. Don't. Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's efficient.
Just let them hear what they want to hear.
Exactly. Bingo.
Just make everybody happy.
Yes, exactly.
Done. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I want to get that book now.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. It'll be ebook form on Amazon. There'll be an audible version.
Narrated by Tiger Woods.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. For real.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Now, you said Chris Rock was one of your inspirations, one of the guys that kind of started you off on the comedy path.
Yeah. I think... with Chris Rock, I loved, he had a certain poise in like a finesse about the art form. If you watch the Never Scared special, he's wearing like a maroon suit, and he's, you know, he's doing his back and forth like a lion just pacing the stage there. And
I love watching his old stuff, because after he walks back and forth, you can see the mic cord kind of coil up.
Yes. I keep hitting the mic over here. Yeah, just, you know, it's really cool. And yeah, I love how he's able to break down just sort of like news topics of the day. This kind of stuff my parents would drive me to school as a boy or something, and we'd listen to the local radio. You shock jock, you're like, hey, did you hear about blah 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 blah? You know, notoriety stealing. You know, like, and so like, you know, Chris Rock was able to take what every American was listening to or watching in the news and just like break it down and make it funny. And that's why I felt like. We didn't watch a lot of comedy growing up in our family, but like, he's someone who's sort of like generationally in our family, they were into it. The Simpsons was a huge influence on me as a kid as well, but that's definitely something that like my uncle, mom, or dad weren't really into. It was just something I responded to the silliness, the goofiness, the esotericness of the of
and the truthness.
The truthness, for sure. You know, it's just so funny. I mean, a lot of like. They're all great writers. The first 3, 4, 5 seasons are just fantastic.
Yeah.
Simpsons fan?
Yeah.
Really? For sure. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
And Simpsons and Family Guy.
Family Guy? Yeah, nice, those two. Particular episode?
No, not really, man. Okay. I've been watching it for so long, and they all kind of just blend together.
Oh,
now.
Sure. Fair enough. Yeah.
It's the longest running TV show ever.
Family Guy or Simpsons? Simpsons. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think it beat MASH, right?
Or something like that. It beat all the live
Carol
action
Burnett
ones.
Show. Yeah. Except this show, the show of life, that right. is the Blue Box Podcast. Here we go.
I can't even do it.
Just do this. Just do that. The Blue Box Podcast. Blue Box. Yeah. I just started a trend, dude. I gave him his symbolism, and he gave me the book.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Yeah.
Ideas.
There we go. Wonderful.
We're brainstorming.
I love it.
Want to take your Blue Box experience to a new level? The Blue Box Shop is now open and ready to take your orders. Our first drop is now live. Check out our sweet swag, apparel, stickers, and so much more from your favorite podcast. Show everyone you know that you like to think outside the blue box. Every purchase helps us produce more original blue box content that you love. So support the show in style by shopping at shop.blueboxdigital.com today.
So sticking with the Chris Rock, man, let's talk about what happened, man.
Please.
Did you hear something happen recently with Chris Rock?
Yeah, I did hear about Chris Rock. I heard he's going to be in Grown Ups 3. I heard he signed on to do Grown Ups 3.
Nice.
Yes. Lucky and in the movie, the boys have to confront a childhood bully, which is played by Will Smith.
Nice.
Yes.
Or Jaden. Let's get Jaden. Jaden.
Icon. Icon. Yeah, yeah, it'd be so funny. Grown Ups 3, the guys come together again for a family reunion. They go to like a ski resort, but then they're high school bully is there, played by Will Smith, and then Jaden Smith also plays a bully's son who's bullying their kids.
And just slaps each other.
Yes. Dude, this is how they figure it out. This is, like, if you guys watch Louie, Louie wrote a great scene where him and Dane Cook were, there was an issue on the internet where totally Dane Cook stole jokes from Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And Louie wrote this wonderful, beautiful scene where they essentially sort of had this discussion in a dressing room as their characters about the sort of debacle. Mm-hmm. And I think Grown Ups 3 would be a wonderful way for the Smiths, for the Rocks, and for America to sort of address this issue. And in the form of comedy.
Yes.
You know, if Chris Rock ever wants to contact me, I can do some punch up. I've already written the full script of Grown Ups 3.
Nice.
I've already wrote it. Yeah, nice. Wrote it in 2 days.
Yeah. Ready to sell.
Yeah, ready to sell. And also my book, Vegeta versus Goku. So, yeah.
Nice. No, speaking of Louis, man, what did you think of him winning that Grammy?
I was very happy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that special.
He's an amazing comedian, man.
He's a wonderful talent.
Yeah. I honestly think that this whole cancel culture is gone a little too far, honestly. I think Louis C.K. is one of those people that, yeah, he admitted to some wrongdoing, sure. But, you know, like, how far are people willing to take that? Like, sure. For the rest of his life? Are you going to cancel him for the rest of his life? Or are you going to let him come out with comedy and win a Grammy like he did?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think cancel culture needs to be named a pause culture. Like, there are certain people in entertainment or society. Like, let's put a pause on them.
Yeah.
And after you put a pause, can we hit play again? Like, you know, because people want to watch the rest of their show, right? They want you want to watch the Louis K. show. Maybe not right now, but I'm very happy you won the Grammy. Like, I was super excited. I saw Sorry, laughed my butt off. I watched it with a 75-year-old, I don't know what wave of feminism, the 70s. Like, she supported Louis through all this. We laughed our butts off. And I'm glad that he won. Yeah, I'm glad he won that Grammy. He's a wonderful creative, and I think whatever sort of debt he had to pay to society, you know, there's a great quote in this movie, Hell or High Water. He's like, ain't never gotten away with anything I ever did, ever, you know. And so he had to pay his due to society.
Yeah.
But, you know, time for him to come back, I think, you know. What that looks like, I don't know. But maybe Horace and Pete, too. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I know some people were upset that he won the Grammy, which I didn't understand.
Like, yeah.
Like, are you mad because he got a Grammy, or are you mad you didn't get a Grammy?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Are you mad you're working at Steak and Shake? Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's because of the whole they thought he was canceled completely, and I've kind of kept up with him since the whole cancellation thing, and I've seen him go on stage even after he got canceled, and he got heckled a little bit, but he kept his head high, man, and I respect that.
Like, that's the thing. Do people think someone should be canceled until they die?
Yeah.
Is that, like, they think, all right, this person should not be able to do, they should not be able to practice their God-given discipline until they
something
die.
Something they've worked on their entire lives.
Which is weird. It's like, all right, like, do people imagine them, all right, I want them to have a regular, I want Louis C.K. to drive an Amazon truck. And then they're like, yeah, he's driving.
He's getting what he deserves.
Yeah, he's driving. And he's delivering me my packages. Like, fuck yeah. Like, and then, and then I give him a bad review. Is that what they're, like, I don't know. What is, I don't think sometimes.
What's the mentality?
What's the follow through? I think what it is just people, they want to stay angry and outraged and upset, you know? It's a bit strange.
It's a culture. Yeah, it's a culture. Like, it's something that's gone rampant on the internet for quite some time, and I think comedy has taken a hit because of it.
Yeah, I mean,
the state of comedy is not what it used to be, honestly. It is because people are afraid to get canceled, and people are afraid to, you know, push that boundary like Chris Rock used to,
Sure, no, indeed. I think, I guess, I talked to a friend. He's like, oh, we don't have like dangerous personalities anymore, like wild men or women of comedy. Everyone seems to be very docile in their comedy per se. They don't necessarily want to offend or...
They're pandering.
Yeah. Pandering to some degree, perhaps. I mean, I think this comedy is very, very funny right now, but there is a certain edge that maybe isn't there. But I think that's society as a whole, perhaps. And it's reaction to many things in politics and where we are as a society in terms of, like, we don't want to upset people. And right now we're sort of in a cultural revolution. We're like, we're in 22 years into the new century, right? So, like, a lot of things are being redefined. The old generation that sort of, like, held the power structure in this country, they're aging. And so we have sort of Zoomers and millennials like ourselves. We're entering our 30s, late 20s. And so we're trying to develop what we want our society to be. So some things we're not going to tolerate, some things we are. I hope we do go back to having like raunchy comedies. Yeah, and like,
me too.
Yeah, just people being... I saw something about Mary with a friend of mine recently. Yeah. So funny. Yes. It's like, it's people are like, oh, you couldn't make that movie today. I think you could, but what would happen is you get a lot of blowback or something. People would be like, you can't have a brother. You can't have a man who doesn't have a developmental disability play a man with a developmental disability. Warren, the brother, who's like one of the best characters in the movie. But maybe we'll do that. You know, I think with Grown Ups 3, we could potentially do that.
Let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back. Yeah. I think we should definitely do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. You want to... Are you agreeing to direct and or produce Grown Ups 3?
Absolutely. You heard it here first.
Awesome. That's great. We're going to change the comedy landscape with Grown Ups 3.
We are. Blue Box first, man.
Yeah, for real.
Blue Box going to change the world.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want to see more in comedy right now?
I want to see the old just get on stage and just tell the truth as brutally as you can.
Sure.
You know, that's funny, you know, it makes it funny. Some jokes that were not, they're not acceptable now were acceptable before, where it was like, it's comedy, you know, people understand that it's comedy. And sometimes, you can cross the line a little bit, but it's still comedy. And you know, that goes right into what we were talking about with the Oscars, man, is that now he's kind of set a precedence. Will Smith has kind of set a precedence where it's okay to just stand up and smack a comedian if you don't like their joke.
Sure. Or you don't agree with essentially like when the comedian's on stage and what they're talking about is a reflection of not only how they think, but how they've lived. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now people have lived this sort of polished Instagram life. And I feel like sometimes comedy is sort of it's become sort of this polished Instagram version of what a comedian should be. I was listening to a comedian who's no longer with us, but very, very funny. And I listened to him when I was younger. His name is Mike DeStefano. I think I'm saying his name correctly. He was a drug addict, drug counselor, and became he's a very funny comedian, but didn't have a polished life per se. And he talked about the messy parts of his life, but it seems like people only want to hear, they want their echo chamber to extend to the comedy club. With myself, I'm getting to a point where I'm starting to talk about more messier parts of my life, that maybe people would be like, I wouldn't live that life, or I wouldn't be friends with someone who lived that life. But ultimately, that's who I am, and I'm making it funny, and hopefully the audience will be like, oh, okay, this is a human being, and he's made it funny, and I'm a human being, I've done messy things too. Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you hope.
That's what I hope. Yeah. I mean, if not, if someone wants to punch me, once again, you're not Goku. You're Vegeta. You will always be Vegeta.
You're the Goku.
Not Goku, actually. And this is the thing. I want people to know that I'm not Goku. I'm Krillin.
Okay.
I'm Krillin. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just a sidekick to Goku.
He's a sidekick.
But I observe everything. That's the thing. I'm Krillin. So. You've hit a sore spot in my...
Yeah.
This is a fake hair. This is
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, this is real. You sprayed this on. Yeah. I don't have any jokes about this.
No.
Literally, I'm like, oh, shit. Did it have anything funny? Fuck. Nothing funny right
now. About your hair?
No, just about that question.
I was going to say, I have a joke.
Oh, please. Give me one. Please. Do it.
G.I. Jane 2. Can't wait to see it.
Hey, your brothers are barbers. Don't hook me up, bro. You know, I'm in love with them clippers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just don't smack me.
I'm not going to smack you. I mean, what would you do if you were Chris Rock in that situation?
I would have done exactly what he did.
Okay.
Just maintain my composure. Just keep the show running. And I talk about it in the podcast.
No, okay.
He has such class, man. He didn't turn it into a brawl right on stage. Like a lot of people probably would have. When he turned his back, they probably would have attacked him.
Sure. No, he was a polished professional in that regard. And the show must go on, that sort of mentality.
But you're saying about the joke? Like, would I have said the joke?
No, most of what Chris Rock's reaction was. I mean, what I would like to hear is the rest of his jokes.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like, maybe, like, I want to know what the rest of the set was.
What I want to know is what he was going to say to Will before he stopped himself.
Ah, yes. You're right. Yeah.
He was like, ooh, I could, ooh.
Yes.
And then he stopped himself and he kept going.
I'm sure we'll get something.
I was like, dude, you need to lay on him pretty hard.
Right. No, indeed. I think what we'll do in Grown Ups 3, we'll write a scene that sort of uses that, you know, hypothetical situation. Yeah. Grown Ups 3. I think it's a great idea. Will Smith has a bully. They go to a ski resort. Like, beautiful, beautiful. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's going to get made. That's my... Once I saw all these books,
Yeah. We'll use that as the backing for
it. Yeah,
for
the movie. It'll be like The Room. The movie, we'll self-fund this movie.
Yeah, there you
go. And if we can't get Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, we'll get lookalikes and we'll like sell it. And people will be like, oh, wait. And they'll get tricked. But it's all good.
Yeah,
all good.
Just like the clickbait on this video.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful clickbait. Right, Grown Ups 3. Yeah.
So I know we were talking before the podcast and you said that I kind of got the history wrong of the whole Will Smith thing. You said something that you wanted to kind of address about that.
Did I?
Whole situation. Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
No? No. Okay. Wait, is this like just a leading question to get me to say something weird? Because I don't recall this conversation at all. I've only been here for like 25 minutes and I'm like, I don't think he's asked me that. Like,
yeah, man. I'm about to slap
the history.
You.
What's wrong with the history? The history of the situation. What do you mean?
I don't know. You said something about like we got it wrong on our episode about something about the incident on the at the Oscars.
I don't think so. No. Was this via text or
no,
right now?
Right here.
Really? Like
before we started recording.
Can we?
Yeah, let's rewind.
Can we rewind the podcast? Yeah. I don't know. I think you guys got it right. I can't think of anything you guys got wrong. Yeah. I've also watched the clip. I didn't watch the whole podcast.
Well, did you see what, like the repercussions from the Academy and all that?
Yeah. I think he's not allowed to release a bad rap album for 10 years.
Attend, but he can still get nominated and win. Like he can still win an Academy Award, but he just can't be on stage to accept it. Or he can't be in the audience, and it's such a weird.
It means nothing to us. Yeah, people. I mean, like what? Like it means nothing to us.
Yeah, it means nothing. Period. Like, I mean, he boycotted the Oscars a couple years ago.
Yeah, Oscar's so white. Yeah, his wife was doing it.
Yeah.
I think he's in like a abusive, psychologically abusive relationship. He probably needs to leave.
He really is.
Yeah.
He really is. I think there's been a clip that has surfaced since the whole thing happened, and it was her kind of walking up to him in his kitchen, just start recording. Hey, so we're gonna have this person on the red table today, and he looks over and he's like, "I've told you not to just start recording. I'm standing in my house. Like social media is my bread and butter.
Yeah,
and like you can't just walk up to me and just hit record." And she posted it.
Oh, I didn't mean Jada was abusing him. I think he's just abusing himself.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, I mean he's just being too nice. You know, he's just being way too nice to the woman who's being mean to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's her doing the stuff, but he's just kind of sitting there taking it.
Really? And that's what I'm saying. I think it's his fault. I think, you know, I'm blaming the victim right now. I think it's his fault.
Victim blaming?
Yeah, I think Will Smith, it's his fault that he's in this situation.
He needs to get out.
He needs to get out. Why hasn't he gotten out? You know, he has enough money to jump out of, like, you know, to move to Florida. I think Will Smith should just move to Florida.
He has a song named Miami.
Yeah. Why isn't he?
He moved to Miami.
Listen, Will Smith, I know you're watching this podcast. I think you should move to Sarasota, Florida and get away from Jada, There you go. And it would be crazy. It's like, what if he moved to Florida and Jada like is like trying to find him? Like because he's like an abused husband and she's like sends goons after him. You know, one day I'm at like a gas station.
She pulls
a Kanye
on him.
A Kanye. Oh, it just goes nuts. Yeah. Like, I love him. Where are my kids? I love him. I love him. You know, has some crazy music video. I don't know. I
think that's what it is, man. It's the kids.
What about the kids?
I think the kids just kind of hold him in that relationship, whether he likes it or not.
Aren't they like grown adults?
Yeah.
How can they keep him in? They don't live in the house anymore.
They don't.
Are they adults?
Yeah, they're adults, but I'm pretty sure they all still live in the same house.
See, that's kind of fucked up. Listen, I get it if like you work in marketing and you make $55,000, so you have to live with your family. You make like $1 million something and you're still living with your family. What's going on there? What's going on with that house? Like that guy he could buy like Jaden with the other kid, Branch. Willow. Branch, Twig, whatever.
A Willow Branch.
Why are they all living together? What's going on? It sounds like a lot of enmeshment. I think it's a psychological enmeshment going on there. But yeah, I think Will's most likely being abused. I don't know about physically, but
no,
definitely.
Just mentally.
Oh, like I meant psychically. She's probably doing witchcraft in the house on him, you know. And for some reason, witchcraft has been working because you know the Matrix 4 sucked, and she was really bad in it as well.
That's why it doesn't work.
Yeah. Will Smith, you're still gonna do Grown Ups 3, right? I just want you to be aware.
After this all dies down, we'll get you in.
Don't pause me. And come to Sarasota, man. It's pretty chill. A lot of grandmas. Yeah.
Is that why you like it down there?
I'm from that area. Yeah. I'm Brandon, Sarasota. Nice. I don't like it specifically for the grandmas. I'm not like, that's like great.
It's the kind of audience that you.
I'm on the phone like, shit, highest grandmas per capita, Sarasota.
Done.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing. I think Will Smith needs to become like Shia LaBeouf when he went nuts. He became like a normal guy. I think he was at like a Ponderosa or Shoney's just eating.
Yeah.
I think there was a video of him at a claw machine. You know, he became like a normal guy.
He's got to start doing normal shit.
Yeah, normal stuff, you know. I think he was like on the bus once, just taking a bus. He was driving the bus. He became a bus driver. And people are like, are you doing it for a role? He's like, no, I'm just doing it to be a normal person. I'm like, okay, we respect you. You know? And I think Will Smith needs to like just let go of the fame. He needs to just get a regular, like, become like a toll booth operator, you know, and just
something menial.
Yeah, just be. That's not even a menial job. Like a toll booth operator is a very important job, like one of the most important jobs. Like if there are no toll booth operators, who's going to snitch on drunks on the highway?
Right.
Exactly. You know. So
like really great points, man.
Yeah, these are great. These are wonderful. These are genius, and they'll be in my new book, Vegeta versus Goku.
The book is just writing itself.
It's writing
itself.
Yeah, we're just going to do a transcript of the podcast. And people will buy it, which is nuts.
Absolutely.
They'll do crazy shit like that. Yeah. This is all very... And at no point have I said these are dumb ideas. I have to keep saying they're great ideas. Yeah. These are fantastic ideas. Yeah.
You make the reality that you want to see in the world. So.
Are you uncomfortable? Your arms are crossed. I feel like you think you're going to get paused.
No.
You're like, oh shit.
I feel like I'm about to get smacked.
I'm not going
to
smack you. No. What if he just drop kicked him? Like if Will Smith drop kicked, just like, boom.
Just straight. Yeah. Like
M. Bison in Street Fighter. Just like, you know, just like drop kicked him.
Like Liu Kang.
Yeah. All the air comes out of Chris Rock's lungs.
That would have been the greatest night in television.
Oh my gosh, that would have been nuts. Oh my god, that would have been crazy. Like, oh my gosh,
how do you keep the show going after?
Yeah, that, how though? Do you? Because like both people are going to be hurt. Chris Rock got drop kicked. Air is out of his lung. Will Smith has probably never drop kicked a person, but he's that sort of on the edge that he could have. This is the thing. I wonder if he got enough sleep that night. You know, it's like. Maybe if you got more sleep, you wouldn't be that crazy. I know he said, like, love makes you do crazy things. It's like, crazy makes you do crazy things. And maybe you just should have gotten more sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would have avoided the whole situation.
Yeah, just, you know, make it a full 8 hours, you know? You know, I think, you know, I know he's doing press tours and they get, you know, they're, you know, I don't know what it's they a little take. Tired, I don't know what do these celebrities take to, you know, stay up so they're doing these
a little
press
bit of cocaine.
Tours. Probably. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not saying he took cocaine, but he seemed like someone who was on cocaine.
Yeah. He did something like people on cocaine would do.
Really? Okay. I've never done cocaine. I hear that's what they do. They get all emotional and they're crying and stuff, and yeah. And also, did he eat? Maybe he didn't eat. Maybe,
yeah, maybe he was just hangry.
He was hangry, you know? Like, I know these celebrities watch their diets and shit, but, you know, they have, like, you know, shrimp tartare at the event. Like, hey, shrimp tartare, Mr. Smith? No, I'm watching my weight.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I gotta literally...
I watched my figure for the Oscars.
Exactly. I feel like he should have just ate. Like, who gets into a fight with someone on a full stomach? Have you heard of anyone fighting anyone on a full stomach?
Nobody.
Yeah, there was a fight online at a Golden Corral. They didn't eat yet. Did you see the video? Like 20 people. I feel like if they just sat down.
It's a big brawl in Golden Corral.
Yeah. If they just sat down, had a few chicken fingers and like a brownie and a roll, it would have been no fight.
Yeah.
So, Will Smith, next time, just eat.
Just eat.
Eat, man. Just eat.
Have a Snickers.
Exactly. There we go. His blood sugar was fucked up. Yeah. These are all things he should have said in his apology. Sorry, guys. I didn't eat. I was upset. I should have just had a caramel. Speaking of caramels, I think I got one for you, buddy. You want one?
Uh-oh.
Some melted caramel. Sorry. I got a gas.
Nice. It's nice and gooey. Yeah, nice and warm.
It was $3 for $1 at CVS at the impulse buy.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious, man. Rude.
And you can't be angry. See, you're smiling.
See, my arms aren't crossed anymore. I'm laughing, you know. I'm all better now.
Yeah. Listen, like Will Smith, keep a toffee in your pocket. Anytime you're about to get pissed off, just pop it. So, yeah, these are all great ideas.
So what's next for you, man? Where you said you get some regular shows.
Yes. So on the 15th in Sarasota at the Bahia Hut, on the 15th, 9 p.m. at the Bahia in Sarasota, Florida, I'll be hosting a great show there. I'm just going to look at this camera. Stephen Lally, who's a comic out of L.A., he will be headlining, as well as David Wynn, who's one of the funniest comics in Tampa Bay. They'll be co-headlining. I'm also doing the Orlando Fringe in May. I'll be doing multiple dates there for a 30-minute show I've been working on. I'll also be in St. Cloud. With that said, just follow me on social. I am Chris Sanders. I am Chris Sanders on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and also my website is iamchrissanders.com.
Wait, so you're not Montgomery Mason?
No, I'm not. That's next week. Yeah, that's next week. Yeah.
I was expecting your social media.
Montgomery Mason. Maybe that'll be my motivational speaker.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, your pen name.
My pen name. indeed.
For the book.
Yeah, I end up getting a pen award. But yeah, and also I have a new podcast I'm doing with Isaac Eager, who's a local journalist here in Florida. It's called Cheeseburger in Babylon. It's a really funny podcast, and definitely check that out as well.
Could have me on there, man.
I would love to have you on.
Let's do it.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about if you're on?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I want to know what.
Let's talk about cheeseburgers in Babylon.
A lot. There we go. That's why this whole city fell. Everyone was eating cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Our God's a vegetarian God. He's like, I'll smite you. And,
is that why Americans love cheeseburgers?
I don't know.
There's no God here.
I don't know. It's so funny. I went to Germany for the first time, and I realized I was fat. Everyone's just like thin and
super
skinny.
Thin, yeah.
I was at one of the airports, and there was no vending machines. Like, I'm looking for a vending machine, and I asked one of the women, I'm like, hey, like, who worked there? Like, hey, like, where are the vending machines? Goes, huh! In America.
Oh.
And I was like, roasted me, this double damn. Zero, you know. But she was attractive, so I gave her a pass. Oh, okay. Yeah, and she was very fun. That was a very good burn.
Very nice. Yeah. You got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. Definitely. Burn. Shoot. Did you hear about this car accident that happened up the road from you on the interstate? You'll hear it on the news. There's this dude, he was driving his F-150 on the interstate up here, and he cut off this Prius that was trying to merge. And the woman in the Prius honks back at the F-150, but the dude in the F-150 pulls out a gun and points it at the Prius and shoots at the Prius 5 times.
Holy shit, dude.
I know. But he missed every single time.
Was he a stormtrooper?
I think so. I feel like they should take his F-150 away from him. Yeah. That's what they do. It's like, sir, give me your keys and your truck nuts. You were not Ford Tough. You were not Ford Tough. But it gets even gnarlier. The woman is the old lady in the Prius. She pulls out her gun.
Holy Christ.
Shoots at the F-150 and kills the guy in one shot.
Thank God.
I know. It's crazy. It's like F-150, they waste gas. Prius drivers, they waste people. Yeah. That's what they do. I'm buying a Prius tomorrow, people. Yeah. And that is the best Prius commercial ever.
Seriously.
Yeah. Horrible news story. Horrible incident of road rage. Best Prius commercial ever. So, yeah.
Toyota should take that and run with it.
Yeah, they should. My book will get sponsored by Toyota. We'll have product placement in Grown Ups 3 with Toyota Priuses. We just built the entire movie.
We built an entire media empire in 20 minutes, man. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Why isn't everybody doing this?
Yeah, come on, guys. Come on. Yeah, just like Kim Kardashian said, y'all need to start working. Y'all are lazy. Oh, my God. What a psychopath.
That is wild.
Jesus. What a psychopath. I really want, forget Will Smith having a regular, I want her to work at Steak and Shake.
Seriously.
And just like live in an apartment with her adoptive parents or foster parents that are here in Florida, and live in the same room as them and get told to drive them her grandma to Target because her grandma has bad eyes. Hey, Kim, wow. We need you to drive Granny to Target. Like, I have work in 45 minutes. It'll be quick. Like, she needs to have that life.
That normal. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she needs to know what it's like to be like, shit, ramen again. Has she ever had ramen noodles? See, when I meet people at like a bar, I go, hey, have you had ramen noodles? And they say, no, I just walk away.
That's it.
I just walk away.
I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. You've had shrimp tartare and you've had that. I had to work to get shrimp tartare. Yeah. Anyway.
It's the fancy stuff.
It's the fancy stuff, yeah. So, Kim, if you're hearing this, we'll give you a cameo in Grown Ups 3. All right. We're going to give you a cameo in Grown Ups 3. We'll uglify you. We'll, like, fuck up your hair and give you pimples and pockmark. We'll make you look like James Edward Olmos.
Oh, my God.
And we'll humanize you because you're inhuman. You're post-human, Kim Kardashian.
Post-human. I like that.
Sorry, I feel I'm going in on Kim Kardashian so bad. Like if aliens came here and they saw her, they'd be like, oh, you're like us. We got here before, like we got here earlier. I didn't know they sent us here. I thought you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's a weird shape.
Yeah, she's a weird shape. Yeah, yeah. It's, I don't know. Anyway. Oh, wow. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So, yeah. Where are we at right now?
Yeah, we're at 48.
Wow. Where do you usually go?
About 48.
Wow. Yeah. How was that? Was that like a quick... How was that for you? Was it like...
Yeah,
oh,
no, it was good.
It was good? Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't know. I know some of the pods, they have a pace that's sort of where obviously... Yeah.
It all comes together in editing, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how you edit it. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, yeah. And hopefully, there'll be some funny stuff in there. So. I hope so.
We were laughing, so.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
It's funny.
Yeah, it was super funny. You're a good. You set me up really good.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
you.
That. Thank so you. One love.
Absolutely.
Bro. One love. Bot.
Yeah.
So bot is a money. It's a form of currency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One love. Okay. Money.
I thought you were calling me some kind of name.
Like you think I was doing a Jamaican stereotype? No, I'm saying what love. Bot. I have three bot, which is three. I don't know what a bot is. Someone tell us what that is.
I'm sure somebody's going to find that offensive.
Indeed. Get paused.
All right, man. That's his social media. For us, it's going to be Blue Box Podcast. We're on Instagram and on TikTok. We post little 60-second, hopefully funny clips on there.
Yeah. Hopefully
funny. The video version of the podcast is going to be available on YouTube. So if you want to follow along there, it's youtube.blueboxdigital.com. If you want to be on the podcast, if you have a story you want to tell, if you're on a journey and you want to share that with the rest of the audience here, just reach out. DM me or info@blueboxdigital.com is the email address. And man, with that being said, thanks again for joining me.
One love. Bots, which is the form of currency.
Bot. Yeah. On that note, bot. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.